heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Well, we have been talking a great deal about America's cities. We've been talking about our urban markets and what's happening across our great nation. And never have we seen things rise to the unrest that we're experiencing now. And it is one of the major issues, obviously, coming into election 2020. You know, we've been doing a series of programming over the past couple of months, as you know, out there, Transition to Greatness, which is really what President Trump had really called this election, a transition of greatness, hashtag election 2020. So the stakes are what they are. I mean, we all know that. We don't need to be reminded of what that is. But the key is, what are we going to do about it? You know, as we look again at all of our cities, I want to talk to you today specifically about some of the cities and about the what I would have initially said some time ago, the great state of California. You know, it's hard to say that today. The great state of California. It just does not roll off the tongue, sadly. Isn't that sad, you know? Couldn't say that about several states, actually, but California certainly is at the top of that list. Now, you know, we know that California is certainly a piece of America. It's a piece of our history, but a lot of people have given up. A lot of people have left the state, and people on the platform here, other hosts that you've heard that lived in California, grew up in California, went to school in California. I mean, had a long history, beautiful life. And it's an incredible state. If you've been there, you know that, or it was an incredible state. It's deteriorated so much. You know, I remember back about, 15, 20 years ago up in the San Francisco area. I remember bringing my mom up there before she had passed away and took her on a cruise up to Alaska and all that. And we went up to the San Francisco. What a beautiful, beautiful area it was at the time on the wharf and all of that. And my mother had never spent any time up there, so we decided to do that. And I think back to those moments and how much it's changed in California. Of course, we have a lot of friends and a lot of interested parties in California, but it's incredible what's taken place in this state. I mean, things have gotten so bad in California that so many good people have just given up. How do we shift momentum back and change this? It's like what's happening in California is just, it's a bad roadmap. It's a bad recipe. It's not something we want to reduplicate across our nation, but yet as the socialist left, Democrat Marxist party continues destroying our cities, I mean, you can see that right out on the West Coast in a lot of areas in California cities, but also in areas like Portland and Seattle and so many, sadly, people. It's a sad state of affairs, really. It hurts me. I'm sure it hurts you out there as well. So let's talk about that today. I'd like to do it with a gentleman, excited to have him on here, Buzz Patterson, and he's running for Congress, District CA7. In California. This is in the northern part of California now. And let me tell you about Buzz. He's a Republican candidate. He's a United States Air Force pilot, lieutenant colonel and commander. He's interested in this race for a few reasons. He's got a long background, a great career. He was a White House aide, worked in the White House, slept in the White House. He lived there for a while, a couple of years, I believe. He was a former carrier of the nuclear codes there with President Bill Clinton, you know, it's an author. So, Buzz, it's a privilege to have you on the program here with us. We're looking forward to this. In all of this now, let's start to take apart here, California. I mean, this is your first time running for political office, is it?
It is. And I really appreciate what you just shared about California. I moved out to California in 1993, and it was a much different state than it is today. And this is my first time running. It's been quite an education. We've got a real good shot at winning this. And I think, you know, I'm just looking forward to helping California turn around. We've got a lot of great patriots out here. And I think we've got a real good shot at doing that. And so, yes, this is my first time running. I'm excited. We've been hitting it hard. We've got another 60 days to hit it really, really hard. and help California turn around. And I think Californians are ready for it. I really do.
Yeah, that is really the big question right there. And that's what I ask myself all the time, Buzz. Are Californians ready for it? And, you know, as I've seen the deterioration of this well before this moment, and because this doesn't happen overnight, these kinds of things, it's a drip, 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 drip effect. And we've been seeing it build for years. We've been talking about it. We've been trying to yell, you know, with a megaphone as loud as we can that there is a lot of trouble out there. But, you know, right now it's coming to this point where I've been asking myself what you just said. And I bang my head against the wall and I wonder, Buzz, you know, like, okay, so what is it going to take to wake people up? I mean, what will it take? I mean, I can't imagine the citizens out there throughout California, no matter what their political connection is from their family or heritage, whether it's a Democrat, Republican, Independent, or a communist, I can't imagine these people and their livelihoods and their families would want a life of homelessness and drugs and needles and really just basic crap on the streets and the quality of life where you can't afford to live and crime has escalated and it's a sanctuary state now, for heaven's sakes. I mean, what is going on out there with the people is what I wonder.
Well, it's been a drip, drip, drip. That's a great analogy, actually. It's been a drip, drip, drip since President Reagan, then Governor Reagan, was our governor out here. And it's been 40 years now of pretty much continuous Democratic, and I'll use this term loosely, quote unquote, leadership. And, you know, I think at first most Californians were immune to it. It's a beautiful state. There's a lot to do out here. The weather, of course, is gorgeous. But I think it's been a combination of people really waking up to the fact that it's become too expensive to live here. It's also become, people are seeing the homelessness on the streets. Like you said, you know, you can't get a plastic straw for your Coke out here, but you can get a pre-plastic hypodermic needle and free heroin to shoot up on the streets.
Wow.
And I think the COVID-19 really, ironically, I think COVID-19 and the way it's been handled out here has actually brought people together because they, I think in pretty much mutual consent, Californians are not happy with Gavin Newsom. They're not happy the schools are closed. They're not happy the small businesses are closed. And that kind of, think about that, Malcolm. I mean, that crosses party lines, right? If you're a small business owner or you're a parent or you live in downtown Los Angeles or San Francisco or Sacramento, you are experiencing the same kind of miserable existence, whether you're Republican or Democrat or Independent or Communist or Green Party. And I think that that's bringing people together. And I think people have finally, thank God, finally had enough. And they're looking for solutions. They're looking for change. They're looking for something new. And that is crossing party lines, which I think is why you're seeing people like Mike Garcia, who won in California 25. He's a former Navy fighter pilot. You're seeing people like me. You're seeing people like Tamika Hamilton, who's an Air Force veteran. She's running in California 4. So you're seeing a lot of people who've never run before, who are stepping up and saying, it's time to go back to serving not only our nation, but our state.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think people on both sides see that.
Yeah, you are seeing exactly what you say. I've talked to Tamika. We've interviewed her on the program here. Also, Eric Early down in the southern part of the state. Of course, you're in the northern part. Let's tell folks where you are exactly, please, in relationship to Sacramento. It's right there, right?
Oh, you bet. Yeah, so California 7 is Sacramento County. So if you take a line and run it down the eastern boundary of downtown Sacramento, and you run it east into the Sierra Nevada foothills. Mm-hmm. It's a big district. It's mostly north and south. So if people are familiar with Northern California, and you were to talk about Roseville, Orangevale, Granite Bay, and then you run a line down south, down as far south as Wilton and Galt and Elk Grove, where all the ranches and the farms are, that's Sacramento 7. And it's a very diverse district. It's a big district. So it's East Sacramento all the way to the foothills of the Sierra Nevadas.
Yeah. Now, again, everybody should understand that California has gone far, far, far to the blue. I mean, it has become there's no way to put it. I mean, it is a Democrat stronghold. If there ever was one, it is California, just as much as it is New York in a lot of ways. But yet, now what you just say, there are a lot of good people now that seem to be coming up and saying, you know, we can't have this. We need to take this back. Different sort of representation out there. You're running against a gentleman that's been there for a while. Amit Bira is his name here. He's been congressman out there for a couple of two or three terms now, is it?
He's finishing up his fourth. He won and took office in 2012.
Okay, gotcha. All right. And so in this race now is incredibly close. These candidates who, these politicians who run out there, who promise all kinds of things or talking points, as typically a lot of politicians have done over the millennia here on both sides of the aisle. I mean, that's where a whole new era of politician has been swept in with President Trump, which is When you say something, do what you say you're going to do. In other words, honor your campaign promises. Out there, I'm wondering, how did the politicians like Amy Bira and so many others, I mean, you've got two senators in there, Dianne Feinstein and Kamala Harris, two Democrat senators again. You've got, they swept in the last race in 2016. I mean, took a lot of the Republicans out by hook or by crook. A lot of argument about that. But how is it that they keep, these politicians, I'm wondering, they keep talking, Buzz, they keep promising, they obviously don't deliver. What? Where's the disconnect that the people out there, it's taken so long, if they've even realized at this point, why do they keep giving them the green light and the go-ahead to impact their lives and yet they don't do it? Why are people so mesmerized with the far-left politics out there? What is it with that? I'm befuddled.
Yeah, you know what? It's they've gotten used to it, and you have to. I think the beautiful thing about President Trump, there's many things I like about President Trump, but one of the beautiful things about President Trump is that he broke the mold. You don't have to be a career politician anymore. You don't have to have come up through the county supervisor, dog catcher, mayoral or governor, you know, that you don't have to do that anymore. And President Trump broke that mold. And I think people are actually paying attention to the fact that they have choices. I mean, and I think that, you know, California is actually several states rolled into one. If you look at the coastal elites, if you look at the, you know, down the Central Coast from San Francisco down to LA, down to San Diego, you've got, it's very, very blue. If you look in the central part of the state where the farmers and ranchers are, and go to the eastern part of the state where you have people like Kevin McCarthy and Devin Nunez and Tom McClintock, where it's definitely red. You could divide it up into four or five states probably, and people would be happy. But, of course, that's not realistic. We do have 53 congressional seats out here. Okay. 46 are held by Democrats and 7 by Republicans. So you can see, and about 15 years ago, that was about 33-20. So we've gone the wrong direction. I think people think the pendulum swung way too far to the left, and it needs to come back at least to the center and hopefully to the right. But I think people are paying attention, but they got desensitized to the fact that they just assumed, and I think most Americans assume, that California is just a lost cause.
Yep.
If you're a conservative, you think, well, you know, I've had people call me up and say, I just want the state to fall off into the sea after an earthquake, you know, and that's just not, you know, that's not realistic, number one. But number two, I mean, people don't understand that as California goes, in many cases, so does go the rest of the nation, especially when there's 53 electoral votes out here. And we've got to start chipping away. And I do know that President Trump in this year in November is expecting to take the House back, and he can't take the House back without flipping 6 seats out here, congressional seats, back to Republicans. And I think we've got a real solid shot to do that. And I think that's how you start turning California around, as you start doing it incrementally, which is why I'm running. I think Sacramento is my wife's hometown. That's where we met. And that's going home for us. And I think it's time to get back into service. And I think this is one of the seats that the White House has identified as being one that the Republicans can take back, not easily, but feasibly, with the right amount of effort. We're certainly putting the effort in.
Yeah, well, it takes money. It takes money to do these races, and there's a lot of outside influences that line the pockets of these politicians, and so it should be no surprise to anybody that money controls a lot of these races, and deep pockets, and that's probably one of your biggest challenges, Buzz, isn't it, is raising money.
Yes, running for Congress in and of itself in the United States is a costly adventure, yeah. And I can tell you in California especially so, and I can tell you in situations, and we're doing okay. We could be doing a heck of a lot better, but I'm going up against Nancy Pelosi money. So my opponent comes into this with about $1.5 million, and we started off with zero. We need money, especially as we go into crunch time here with radio and TV ads. But yeah, money is essential, especially in California.
Yeah.
And I've discovered, that is a newbie doing this for the first time and being a military guy, this kind of took me aback a little bit. But a large portion of what I have to do, well, not what I have to do, but what I need to do is raise money and talk to people who can help out and influence the campaign. And that's what we're doing as well. So, it's pushing the message and talking about change and how we're going to make Californians and Sacramento County residents and citizens' lives better. But B, it's about appealing to people across the nation, not just California, that if you want to help President Trump and you want to give the House back to Republicans, that we need help out here, and a seat that's flipped to the red across the nation, whether you're in New York or Florida or California, is a seat that goes back to the Republicans. So we've been getting a lot of support from across the nation for our campaign. We need more, but yes, that's essential.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me tell listeners now, we are speaking to Buzz Patterson now. He is running for the congressional district out in California, the 7th district there, just east of Sacramento in California. And so, again, I want to plead with everybody at this point, whether you live in California or not. These races all take money, as you just heard Buzz talking about it. When we talk about transition to greatness, every step in their direction matters when we talk about a pro-American agenda and we talk about saving our nation and our cities. I mean, it has to start with races like this. Buzz, you hear him talking right now. You go look him up. You just go search for him, look at the videos. This is a passionate man. This is about as an American of a gentleman as you'll find. And it's the kind of people we need in Congress. And again, we're seeing more and more of this where they're rising. People like Buzz and people like Eric Early, Tamika, that he was just talking about, are rising. Good people I'm speaking about now, my friends. And so, but we need to help these candidates with dollars. It's so important. I plead with you all. Listen, $20, $50. I mean, we're not running a telethon here, but the point is it takes money to do these things. I'm going to give you Buzz's website right now. We'll give it to you a little bit later in the program as well. But it's real simple. It's Buzz, B-U-Z-Z, the number 4, Congress.com. Buzz4Congress.com. So we need to create a buzz out there for Buzz so we can create a buzz nationwide, you see, and take this thing back, really. So, again, all these races take money. Same thing with Eric Early, Tamika. If we all put a little bit into the pot here and help these people out, it will go a long way, my friends, to helping to win some of these races back that are so vital so we can transition to greatness. It's vitally, vitally, vitally important for America. So what I want to do now is we pause a moment. Is when we come back on the other side, I'm going to run. I want you to hear this message. So it's a very passionate message that Buzz Patterson put out to the California residents. I think it's extremely well done. But really what it gets into is the issues of what California is up against and some of the stats and numbers that are so vital. And remember, all of the things we're talking about now are impacting all across our country here. So just keep in mind what's happening here. It's a trickle effect, and we're seeing that now, just like as you're experiencing with all the cities and the social unrest and the civil disturbances and the crime that, what do I say to you all the time? There is no Make America Great Again without great America cities. That is for certain. Be back with Buzz Patterson on The Voice of a Nation in just a moment.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
In the past 10 years, only 5 million people left California. In 2018 alone, nearly 700,000 left our state for greener pastures in other states. A recent survey has found that over 60% of California residents feel that California's best days are over. Many of those people are considering leaving our state in the very near future. And this is not merely retirees moving to Arizona or Florida. Many of those wanting to leave are young adults, the next generation of Californians who can't afford a decent place to rent, let alone even consider purchasing a home here. More people are leaving California than are coming in. And it's really no mystery why. The politicians running California, who are supposed to represent us in Washington, have done everything in their power to destroy our once great state. And they will do absolutely nothing to fix it. They are taxing us off to Texas, overpricing us to Ohio, and letting criminals, drug addicts, and the mentally ill scare us off to South Carolina. Is it really any wonder why Californians want to leave? And these same politicians aren't finished yet. Now they have a plan to gut Proposition 13 so that only the very rich can afford a home here. That's only part of their plan that will reward people who ignore our laws and contribute nothing to society. Meanwhile, they break the backs and the bank accounts of the hardworking people who pay the taxes that support this dystopia, which we neither asked for nor were ever allowed to vote upon. Californians have had enough. My name is Colonel Buzz Patterson, and I'm running for Congress to represent you, the Californians that our politicians have abandoned. I know what it will take to fix this mess. With your help, I'll go to Washington and put our state back on track. Because if we don't fix this soon, we may never again see the California we once knew and loved. If you're thinking of leaving the state, please don't go. Stay and fight alongside me with your vote. Our history, our families, and our livelihoods are still right here in California. I'm not willing to live it without a fight. I hope you're not either. I'm Buzz Patterson. Together we can reclaim our home state of California from the politicians intent on destroying it. And that's why I approve this message.
Powerful message from Buzz Patterson, who we're speaking with today here, running for Congress, California, District 7. The north part of the state we've been discussing here. And, you know, your words on this message here really touched my heart, Buzz, and I can't put it any other way. When you say this, your plea to not leave the state, you said to Americans, to Californians, please don't go. Please don't go. Stay here beside me and fight. That message spoke to me in ways I can't begin to tell you. Tell me about that, please.
Yes, so I'm a husband and a father of three, and we've got children 21, 17, and 14, and we like California, and we are faced many, many times, discussed many, many times leaving California. Many of our friends have, we have family members that have. A lot of small businesses have moved out of California for the first time ever. The last couple of years, California has watched the population decrease because people are picking up and going to Texas and Nevada and Colorado and Utah and Idaho. And my plea is that California, the once great golden state back in the 60s and 70s when people were flocking out here, people are flocking away. They're not just flocking away, they're moving out in record numbers. And my plea to Californians, especially Californians that want to restore the state and not be dependent on Hollywood and the coastal elites is to stay here and fight the good fight. You know, I'm an Air Force combat pilot, and I've been in combat and seen duty in 69 countries around the world, and I wore my American flag on my left shoulder for 20 years to do so. In my plea, my mission these days is to make California a better place for my children and for their children. I want to leave California better than I found it. And my wife's a California native. I'm transplanted, but I've been out here for 27 years. It's time for us to rise up as Californians across the entire state, not let Sacramento, downtown Sacramento, the government there, San Francisco and LA dictate to the rest of us how this state goes. So that's my plea. It's emotional. It hits home. I think about it every single day. I wake up thinking about it. I go to sleep thinking about it. And my plea is for Californians to wake up and fight the good fight. Other than that, we're going to leave this state in horrible conditions, and we're going to leave it to the power elites in two cities. And that's not what California is really all about. California is majestic. We've got mountains. We've got the ocean. We've got fantastic beaches. We've got the Central Valley. We do most of the nation's produce here. We have farmers and ranchers, and it's time for Californians to rise up, whether you're Republican or Democratic or independent or Green Party or a communist. I don't care what your political persuasion is. If you're a Californian, it's time for you to rise up and fight.
Yeah. I mean, if you're California, if you're an American, and that really is the connecting force with people that I can't explain that any other way, but he's right when Buzz says whether you're this or that or the other, whatever your political persuasion is, well, that's fine. I mean, you can have your ideology or specifics, but when it comes to saving a state like this, it's as you just called it, Buzz, a very majestic state and one that is so vital to the Republic. You know, we talk about the people leaving California. Now, again, there are a series of people I know in my own life who've left the state permanently. They have left, and they've moved to Texas, markets like that. There's a major influx of people leaving California for Texas, in fact. You know, the problem is one of the challenges that Texas is experiencing is they don't want them to bring their blue politics with them. And that's a real challenge that Texas is going to have to wrestle with ahead to make sure that doesn't happen. That really could jeopardize another state, in fact, that we don't want to see happen. But when we talk about more people leaving California than are coming in, which is what you say in the message I just played for listeners here. So in the past 10 years, you say roughly 5 million people have left the state of California. Okay. In 2018 alone, nearly 700,000 left our state for greener pastures in other states. And a recent survey found that 60% of California residents feel that California's best days are over. So in other words, Buzz, these people are looking at California in the rearview mirror. They're not looking at a front forward position of what could be with all the dreams and aspirations of that one would want in a state like this. They're looking in the rearview mirror thinking it's never going to get better. But you see, a lot of people, they think that their vote doesn't matter. They think it doesn't count. They think they can't change Sacramento. They can't change nationally Washington. You can't change political leadership. The power is with the people. It is we, the people, who mandate this. It's not the political people who, they work for the we, the people. But see, people have that reversed today, Buzz. They're not understanding that point.
It's true. And I think, this is another point that we need to stress. I think that people, the same thing is happening in New York. I mean, people, the U-Haul rentals out here are off the charts because a lot of really, really good people are leaving because they think that their votes don't count. And that's not true. And what's happening is that not only do the elites in California and the Gavin Newsoms of the world don't understand that they're driving their tax base out. You look at even Hollywood, who is traditionally very, very, very left. Even Hollywood is leaving and going to places like Georgia and Florida to shoot their movies because it's become untenable. The taxes out here, the cost structures out here. And for people to live out here, for the crews and the industry, the Hollywood industry, they can't afford to live out here. So, I mean, they're cutting their own throat, quite frankly. The left is cutting their own throat out here, and they're not doing anything to put the fire out. So it's going to be incumbent. This is a perfect time, actually. It's a perfect time for conservatives to reassert themselves in California. California used to be a conservative state. And we've had people like Ronald Reagan as our governor. Mm-hmm. And people forget that. You know, it was not that long ago when this was a fairly red state. The last 30 years have proven to be disastrous. But I think people are waking up to it. And I really do. Again, I go up and down the state speaking to all sorts of groups, everything from churches to Republican groups to civic groups and political organizations. And people are waking up to the fact that, again, regardless of whether or not you're a Republican or Democrat, and that's my message, really. If you go to my website, I'm a Republican. I'm a die-in-a-hard Republican, and I'm also a Trump supporter. If you go to my website, though, my issues, my initiatives cross party lines, almost 100% cross party lines. I talk about getting our kids back into school. That's a bipartisan issue. Helping our small businesses recover from COVID-19. That's a bipartisan issue. Giving water to our ranchers and farmers in the Central Valley. That's a bipartisan issue. Getting our homeless off the streets. That's a bipartisan issue. There's really nothing in my platform that screams Republican, although I am, because I want to work with Californians. And I understand it's not going to be easy. But somebody's got to start somewhere. And by God, that's what we're trying to do.
Really, part of my message here on the Voice of a Nation is, how do we attract, and this is something I'd like you to talk about and ask, how do we attract independents, moderates, Democrats, left of the center, those JFK Democrats, because they don't have a party anymore, because the socialist Marxists have absolutely bitten into their platform. They have a hold of it right now. How do we get those people left of the center to embrace our American agenda that we're speaking about right now?
I think I see in my district, that's a great question. In my district, we have 22% in California, we don't call them independents, we call them no party preference. So we have 22%, for lack of a better term, independents. And I think that's who we have to reach in my district for sure. And you do that by appealing to those things that really matter, the economy, again, small business owners. You can be a small business owner in Sacramento and nobody cares whether or not you're a Republican, a Democrat, or no party preference. You have to appeal to those people, and I do, and my opponent doesn't. And I think that's how you reach across the aisle. And you're right, we've become far too vitriolic in this nation, and a lot of that is our social media. A lot of that is the fact that if you go on mainstream media and you watch what's happening on some of the cable networks and on ABC, NBC, CBS, most Americans, and I'm one of those, believe it's far skewed to the left. And so people are prompted to either be far left, or if you're on the right side of the spectrum, you're very defensive and you want to get aggressive about that. And I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram. I see the give and take, and I'm probably guilty of a lot of that myself. But not politically speaking, I'm not. And I think that we've got to have, that's where I think that if you're an outsider like myself, and this is, I think, what really scares Democrats. I'm an outsider with insider knowledge. I spent those 2 years in the Clinton White House working for President Clinton, not as a political appointee, but as a military officer with an office and a bedroom in the White House. And I carried the nuclear football for President Clinton, and I was able to see our government at the highest levels. And I think I saw problems on both sides of the aisle in terms of my 2 years at the White House. And I think that's where I come in forewarned and forearmed, is that I've seen the game played in D.C. And I think it is a game in a lot of cases in Washington, D.C., inside the Beltway. I went to high school in D.C., and I went to college just south of D.C., so I know what the environment's like. And it is a game in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, if you're a career politician, you're sold out to lobbies and you're sold out to special interests, which is why I'm a big proponent of term limits. I think that our founders didn't intend for people like Joe Biden to be in office for 47 years. I mean, I think that they assumed people would do it for 12, possibly, 15, 16 years and get out. Mm-hmm. Which was what I planned to do. I planned to do 3 or 4 terms and get out. And I think that's healthy for our republic. So that's how you do it. You start minimizing the careerist aspect of people who serve, and you start to, enhance or accentuate the fact that it's a service position, that you're there to work for the people, not vice versa. And we've lost that in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Well, you took the words out of my mouth when I was going to talk to you about term limits. You even brought it up. I'm so glad you did before I even asked you, because I've been pushing for that and a big proponent of it. And you know what I told folks last week, Buzz, told listeners, is what I really would like to see. I mean, we talk about an establishment. I mean, a lot of people use the words deep state, but deep state has other underpinnings to it, and it gets a little bit too conspiratorial. So let's just call it an establishment. You agree with that, right?
There
is an establishment there. So having said that, what I really would love to see, I mean, if we really want to get back to a perfect union, here's what I would love to, I mean, this would take a lot to do, but it would, you talk about a game changer, Buzz. So, all right. So what if we did, you know, we hold the president to term limits. He shouldn't be the only one. You're right. So let's put certainly Congress, the House and the Senate on term limits as well. Like you say, allow them to be there, not for 50 years. And part of the problem is, Buzz, they leave there in a wheelchair, an oxygen tank or a coffin most of the time, you know. And they end up multi-gazillionaires many times over, and it's not from their salary. So it's a corrupt society that builds all of this. So if we had those on term limits there, but quite frankly, I'd go one step further, Buzz, and I don't know what you think about this, but I'd like to see term limits as well for the Supreme Court justices. I'd like to also see term limits for high-end positions in all of our agencies. I mean, I'm going right through the establishment now. So I'm talking about all of your key agencies and positions in Washington, the establishment. I'm talking about everything above a certain level. They can only hold a position for so long. Now, I'm not saying they can't run for another position, Buzz. I'm not saying that. If that's the desire and the people are going to put them there, whether they're elected or appointed, that's another story. But I think if we could set a platform like that where you can only serve in that position for a period of time and you have to move on, why can't that be the order of the day?
I love that idea, and I think it certainly should be. I had not thought about the Supreme Court, but I love that idea. You know, my proposal would be, here's the problem with the House of Representatives as it currently stands. So you get 2 years, the terms are 2 years. So literally, you get 6 months after election, and then you've got 18 months of running for office again. As a first-time congressman, I can see you need to get your feet wet a little bit, figure out the lay of the land in D.C., and it's a little different there. I understand that. So give congressmen and women six terms of 2 years, or increase the term from 2 years to four years and give them three. Senators get six already, so give them six. So everybody gets 12 years, one way or the other, and then you're out. It's kind of the military approach to things. In the military, you get promoted or you move out. It's up or out, and I think that just is good for. I mean, change is good, and I don't think the founders ever intended for our congressmen and our senators to come into office without any money and to leave as multimillionaires.
Buzz, they did not. And I want to say something to you when you talk about our framers, you know, what they intended or not intended. You see, in order to be a spirited nation, to have a nation of innovation, you know, we talk about American exceptionalism, Buzz, right?
Right.
We talk about innovation. We talk about the American spirit. I mean, listen, I believe in the American people. This is the place to be. There's no doubt about it. And the American people, our listeners now, are the most beautiful people on the planet. There's no question in my mind. We're talking here, and again, my reference point, Buzz, understand, is the fight of good versus evil. And that's the fight I take on every day. There are always going to be evil forces out there. But by far and large, the Americans as a people here are good. And good always rises. I firmly believe that in my heart and my soul here. So if we can, in order to have innovation, you know, where the spark is, where the rubber meets the road, Buzz, you'll have to be able to have change. You know, I grew up in the corporate boardrooms. That's where I spent my life, in the corporate boardrooms. I mean, I realize that complacency is a disease. It will rot you out and you will be no more. And this is a problem corporations have and people have, but politics absolutely has it. Avoiding complacency is the key to be able to experience the best that life has to offer, and certainly American exceptionalism or innovation. So what we would do with all of this change is good, change is beautiful, change is essential to be able to have an America that we all are trying to have and embrace here. So I think that change we're talking about is vital, or we're going to be in the same boat we're in, because these people are in there too long. they get brain rot in the meantime. 50 years later, they don't know which way is up or which end is back. Or it's just insanity. I mean, this is vital what we're talking about. If we don't fix the system, we're never going to get there, Buzz.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, and that's why, one of the reasons why I'm running. I don't think I'm going to be able to do it myself, obviously, but I think President Trump's trying to. And I think President Trump, and you know, in a military flying vernacular, President Trump needs more wingmen and women to do this, to help him out. And he hasn't really had that support. I mean, even on the Republican side, there's not been a lot of support over the years. But I think it does take people coming from outside to change things. I think President Trump has been that change agent. I mean, I don't think we would have had that if we had elected Hillary. We certainly wouldn't have had that if we elected Hillary, my former boss's wife. I mean, I think that we need more and more fresh blood coming in. We need to start rooting out, the Bidens and Pelosi's and Schumer's of the world who've been there forever and have made a fantastic career doing it. But they're not beholden to their constituents. I mean, Nancy Pelosi's district probably is one of the more, homeless ridden, feces infested, needle, garbage districts in the entire country. She doesn't pay attention to that. So, I mean,
how does she get reelected? How? Why do the people do it?
The power and the money. So, I mean, she is so she's been there for so long and is so rich and has so many people beholden to her in terms of special interests and lobbyists. And for example, my opponent, Ami Bera, he votes with her 100% of the time because she gives him the money he needs to win reelection.
All right, if they got the money, Buzz, but are they brainwashing the people? Don't the people wake up some mornings and step on a few needles and look at the minutia in the roads and say, or the homelessness impact or the rising cost of just living and the cost of a rent or a mortgage? And don't they say, good golly, there has to be a better way?
You would hope so, but not. I mean, they're so beholden to her. That they don't see any better. And I think, but I do believe people are starting to wake up. But, so I think people have gotten lazy at the switch. When you go into the poll, or these days when you get your mail-in ballot and you just go ahead and you just check the box that says Pelosi because you recognize the name, right? You don't bother to do any homework into it. You don't bother to take a look at the other side's policies or platforms. People have gotten lazy. And I think they get even lazier when all the ballots are going to go right to your home and you either fill them out yourself or you have somebody else fill them out for you. And that's kind of the sad reality of what's going on here, which is why one of the things we're fighting out here in California is this 100% mail-in ballot thing that Gavin Newsom's trying to push. We want people to be able to go to the polls or vote by mail. We want people to have that American experience of actually going to a poll, going behind the curtain, pulling a lever and having to think about what they're doing. And so we're fighting that fight out.
Where is that fight right now with universal mail-in voting versus absentee voting? And our listeners know the difference between the two, but where is that fight right now in California at?
It's gone to the courts. So it's gone to the court. We are fighting to have the option. So you know the difference between absentee and mail-ins, right? So Newsom wants us to do 100% mail-in. And we're saying, how about a hybrid where if you're willing to wear a mask and stand in line and socially distance, you should be allowed to go to the polls too. And I think we're going to win that. I think we're going to have polls open traditionally in the traditional sense. And we're going to have people who are allowed to mail in their ballots or, as we did the last couple elections out here, able to take your mail-in ballot to the poll and drop it into a secure box. We've got issues out here with ballot harvesting. I'm sure you're aware of that phrase. It's legal here in California. The Republicans didn't do a very good job with that in 2018, and we are going to be ballot harvesting ourselves in 2020. So I've got a group of volunteers, about 1,000 people, who will be watching polls and making sure there's no shenanigans, or at least trying to intervene with the shenanigans that happen at the polls out here. And also we're going to be going around legally and ethically asking people if we can take their ballots in for them. We're not going to be filling them out like the Democrats do out here, but we're certainly going to be out in force doing very similar things in terms of going to senior citizens' homes and asking them if we can take their ballots in for them. If you're not able to get to the ballot or the polls that day, or you don't want to stick it in the mail, we'll come by and pick it up for you and make sure that it's secure, and we'll drop it off for you in a secure location. So we're doing it. We're going to fight the good fight, just like Democrats have been doing for a long time.
Yeah, see, what's happened now in California is that, they've got so much power out there that what happens with that, my fellow Americans, is that they begin to change the rules. And when they start to change the rules, is like we're talking about with Buzz right here, then they change the rules and how you vote. And then then they do things that are not honorable. They cheat the system, really what it is. But it's like a drug addict almost. That's how you stay in power. That's like a drug addict would to get the next drug. It's like a politician does, these career politicians. It's their drug of choice. It's a power grab is what it is. It's what do we always say? Greed, money, and power, right? Well, this is the power came here, which will also, in this case, produce money for them in a very cushiony lifestyle because they get sold out and bought out and buy out. And, you know, all of this stuff in dirty politics becomes the real fight and the origins of good and evil I talk to you about all the time. And then it takes a guy like Buzz Patterson to come along. And a lot of the people you're seeing that we've been talking to on the network here and certainly on my program and trying to bring these voices to the airwaves and really introduce them to America and to Californians. Now, listen. On our program, our network here, and on this show, we have a lot of Californians who listen. It is one of our top states in the nation of people who listen to this show and listen to this network. It just is. I can't tell you. I think they're dying for it. Well, like Buzz was just saying a moment ago here, they want a change. They need a change. They are trying to embrace the change. And that's why we need to bring this thing forward here. And it starts with all of these things we're talking about now. The website, again, is buzzforcongress.com, buzz, B-U-Z-Z, the number 4, congress.com. And I only say it again because I'm pleading with you to put some money into the pot there or help them out. Because, again, all these races across our nation take dollars. A lot of this comes to money again, having the right money. Anyways, enough is enough, right? I'll just keep going on and on. Let's take a quick pause here. I'll be back with Buzz Patterson on The Voice of a Nation in just a moment here.
Listen to Malcolm, The Voice of a Nation on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
The war on America's cities and claims of racism in the ranks of law enforcement have spirited a renewed debate on racial equality. It was Alexis de Tocqueville who reminded us, Americans are so enamored of equality, they would rather be equal in slavery than unequal in freedom. To which I say, be warned of the shiny object, America. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, it's a fight for the soul of humanity.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@AmericaOutloud.com. liberty@AmericaOutloud.com.
You talk there about the next generation of Californians cannot afford a decent place to rent or let alone purchase a home. And this is a problem happening in a lot of markets in a lot of areas. But the lifestyle and the cost of living in California is, I mean, it's become, which is really breeding a lot of this homelessness and a lot of it all filters into the destruction and the deterioration, really, of a quality of life. What can we do about that out there? What's the answer to that?
It's trying to retain our small businesses and our tax base. So we're trying to, right now what's happening is that California is becoming a place of top 1%ers and bottom 10%ers. There's becoming very little to no middle class. Mm-hmm. Which is really unfortunate. California was founded on the middle class and has been, the middle class has flourished out here for decades and decades and decades until about the early 1980s. So it's retaining the California dream, the American dream. It's giving people the incentive to want to come here and open up a business or come mm-hmm. here and raise a family. And we are becoming a very stratified society out here in terms of, you know, the top five, the bottom 10, or the top one, the bottom 10, and it's sad. So there's no tax base in the middle. And that's unfortunate. We're forcing a lot of, even some of the bigger corporations out here, for example, Elon Musk and Tesla, threatened to leave because they're not getting the support.
Is he going to leave or did he stay? I thought he was leaving. Is he staying?
He stayed so far, but it's still under negotiations. They're still discussing whether or not he's going to stay or not, which is unfortunate. I mean, that's, again, if you talk about losing Elon Musk in California, look, think about the hundreds of millions of dollars that's involved with that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the big farms who can't get the water they need, a lot of the big ranches that can't get the water they need because Gavin Newsom and the California, you know, environmental terrorists are pumping a lot of fresh water. Water in California is gold. It has been since the inception of the state. And we're pumping a lot of fresh water out into the Pacific to preserve the Delta smelt. And at the time, which is a small little fish, and at the time, and at the same time, we are having a huge dust bowl situation in the central part of the valley where farmers and ranchers simply can't subsist anymore. They can't survive, and they're moving out of the state. So we're doing all the things. If you were looking at the ways to kill a state, very, very quickly, you're looking at those things put into action by Gavin Newsom and the Democrats out here. It's really sad to see. If you were going to try to destroy a great state, and you would undertake, you know, 1 through 10, that's what's happening. And we've got to turn that around, and we've got to make sure that people, small businesses, the middle class, want to come here and not want to flee. And right now, they're fleeing.
So they've got a master plan on how to destroy a state. You're trying to write the book, How Not to Destroy a State, basically. That'd be the next book you write, brother. They're right there, man. But how not to do it. But so the agricultural industry out there is in a lot of trouble, huh?
They are, and it's all based on the fact that the water rights are not positive for. If you're a huge farmer or a conglomerate, you can drill through the water table and get your water. But if you're just, you know, we have plenty of water out here coming off the Sierra Nevadas, but we can't store enough of it when we have drought seasons. So we have storage, but we don't have enough. And the federal government, and for example, in my district, the federal government has already allocated the money to build additional storage and reservoirs so that when we have drought years out here, which we have all the time, we'll have enough water to subsist and get to the farmers and ranchers the water that they need. The California government will not approve the building of those storage facilities because it impacts the environment, they think, negatively. For example, there's a reservoir project just north of my district called Sites, where we would have to relocate four farmers, but we could get hold enough water that the state could go through a 5-year drought period and still have enough water for the farmers and ranchers without having to worry about paying any additional money for the Colorado River water that comes in from Arizona and New Mexico. So there's that. It's a very complex situation, but there are certainly answers and resolutions out here. And in my district is probably one of the more diverse in terms of talking about all of those: small business, water, homeless, et cetera.
Yeah. It's a message, again, you're going to have to continue to put out there every single day to, so people understand there are answers for the problems, but it has to start with the simple things, Buzz, obviously, as you're doing right now. What will it take for you to win this race now? Because you're actually looking pretty good at this moment here. As we fast forward now, as we get to November here, what's the game plan?
Well, the game plan is continue to have a strong ground game, which we've been doing so far. Even during COVID-19, my team has been out there campaigning and hitting it hard, and my opponent is not. My opponent, of course, has all the money. We're trying to raise money so we can air ads like you played earlier. We had the commercials already cut and ready to run, but we need to be able to run those in the Sacramento market. And in fact, we want to run them in the LA market too, because a lot of our money comes from Los Angeles, and a lot of our influence comes from Los Angeles as well. So we really need to raise the money to be able to put our ads on both radio and TV. We have the ads cut. It's just a matter of getting the money to be able to pay for the commercial time. And we know that we're going to get, again, with this guy having Pelosi money, we're going to get slammed with negative commercials pretty soon. I would imagine probably our ballots go out in the mail early October. So I'm imagining by late September, you're going to see an onslaught of commercials coming at us. And then we're going to have to be able to counter those commercials. So again, money, support, people can go to our website again, buzz4congress.com. Also, I want to appeal to people, if you're on social media, Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, please, or Parler, please go on there and follow us, and you'll see the kind of initiatives that we're putting out there. I've got a great team, a fantastic campaign team that I'm really, really proud of. I'm not doing it by myself, for sure. I've got people I rely on every single day, and they're just superb Americans and fantastic patriots.
Yeah, absolutely. Buzz Patterson there in California, and it is a big, big race, an important one, California District 7, in the north part of the state now, just east of Sacramento there. You know, on Buzz's Twitter feed, one of the pinned tweets he has, I want to read you the pinned tweet. This race is Buzz Patterson versus the establishment. I'm not being funded by big money, big PACs, or any party apparatus. I'm a grassroots campaign through and through. I need your support. When elected, I am accountable to you. So you hear the man right here. I wanted to really dedicate this hour toward the race. And there were so many other things that would be very interesting to talk about with Buzz, and we will ahead down the road. I mean, he's a fantastic author, he's had a great career and a lot of great stories, but there's time for all that, my fellow Americans. The biggest story right now is to get Buzz into office, and I make no bones about that. That is what needs to be done here, to be able to right the wrongs and turn the tide and bring these states back to greatness and bring America back to greatness, which is the master plan. You would agree with me, right? Of course. And so the website again, buzz4congress.com, B-U-Z-Z, the number 4, congress.com. Check it out, please. We wish great things for Buzz Patterson and even more for the beautiful people of California, and that District 7 hopefully will see the light and make this happen come November here. Thank you again, friends, for being with me on the journey. It is Transition to Greatness. Hashtag Election 2020. It's time to get involved and get loved.